Hamas has been killing people trying to flee because they are using innocent people as protection.
Yeah.
Take away the fact that they're Arab and Muslim. If that was Jews or professing Christians that were doing that, that is wicked. Mm. There are innocent Palestinians. In other words, Palestinians who don't want Hamas to make war on Israel, but they live there, and Hamas is going to kill them if they say we should make war against Israel. War is hell.
Yep.
Right? And it's worse than hell because hell has no innocence.
Right.
Let's just reverse it for a second. Had Israel gone into Gaza and raped women and murdered innocent children, okay, I would be supportive of Palestine executing judgment on Israel. All right. Had America gone into Tijuana and done this to Mexicans, the world should respond against America the way the world should respond now against Hamas.
All right. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, and we did cover it in The Remnant, but is a viral thing going around right now on TikTok that TikTok actually, the CEO made a statement about. I think he's paused the hashtag and the ability to use it.
Who has?
The CEO of TikTok, or maybe the American CEO.
The American CEO. Yeah. Okay, good. And
The Guardian, which is where this letter was hosted, has removed the letter.
This is a letter that goes all the way back to 2002.
November 24th, 2002.
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden, I pulled it up right here, and we can kind of just poke through it, and because I think even in the first page, there's things that
Do this as you get ready to go, because you said The Remnant. This is The Remnant podcast.
Yep.
With Todd Weidrich, we're calling it. But there's the thing called The Remnant News.
Right.
T-H-E, remnantnews.org. And what date was this on
which again, today is, you may be watching this in the future, but I think this was
November. November 17th, 2022?
I believe it was November 17th. It might have been the 15th.
It was
the 17th.
Okay, so November 17th, 2022. You asked me a question in this, right, and I wrote about it, and you want to talk about it.
Yep. Osama bin Laden letter goes viral. So this TikTok influencer, Lynette Adkins, stirred up controversy by endorsing Osama bin Laden's letter to America, the document justifying the 9/11 attacks infused with anti-Semitic rhetoric.
I need everyone to stop what they're doing right now and go read. It's literally two pages. Go read A Letter to America. And please come back here and just let me know what you think, because I feel like I'm going through like an existential crisis right now, and a lot of people are. So I just need someone else to be feeling this too.
So she had some followers. Actually, I think she got the followers from this. I think she had 371 prior to it and gained 172,000 followers. And then other people picked it up, and there was tons and tons and tons of hashtags Letter to America on TikTok, which a lot of people have problems with TikTok in general. But this is part of the tactic that I think Christians need to attack, which is taking truth to TikTok, because there's a lot of this bullcrap going around. And so anyways, The Guardian is where the letter was, and everybody's saying the TikTok trend is go read the letter and then come back here and talk to me about it. I want to have a conversation with you, which is obviously an engagement tactic, but also they're promoting this letter, which is now only place I could find it was Twitter. So this is Osama bin Laden, Letter to America, justifying the 9/11 attack. So looks like almost a year later.
You want to give air to Osama bin Laden's words that we're going to do here? We're going to continue his miasma and his perversion.
You have to. It's out there. People are. I'm looking for it. Right. We need to combat lies with truth.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is this was the lie, and it was one that this girl listened to it. Right. And you already said it clearly. Like,
yes.
Yeah, so, I listened to it and changed my perspective.
Totally changed my perspective.
Maybe, yeah. They should have done that. Maybe Hamas should have gone over there to that little music festival and done those horrible things with those Jews.
Yep. So Osama's saying right here, why are we fighting and opposing you, talking to America? And what are we calling you to, and what do we want from you? So to answer question A, which is why are we fighting and opposing you? He's basically, the summarized point of this is you guys are occupying Israel, or you're helping with the occupation of Israel, which is really the Palestinians' people's land. So,
yeah. So, what do you mean it's the Palestinian people's land? So, here's the thing: is like, my goodness, the whole issue of what's happening in the Middle East is so confusing to so many people, because they go back and they look and they go, I don't understand. I don't have any really concept and clarity about why there's debate to begin with. And so, I mean, I'm no expert on Osama's perspective, but if you want to give me a line, I can respond to it a little bit. Like one specifically where he says that, hey, the occupation of the Jews or the creation of Israel is our problem.
It brings us both laughter and tears to see that you have not yet tired of repeating your fabricated lies that the Jew have a historical right to Palestine as it was promised to them in the Torah.
Yeah. And so what he's referring to there is this Genesis 12, 1 through 3, where God makes three promises to the nation of Israel, right? It's land, it's seed, and it's blessing. Specifically, that God would one day give Israel, the descendants of Abraham, land basically from sea to shining sea, from the Mediterranean all the way over to what would be modern day Iraq. This isn't just this little strip of land that's highly contested. What God promises in the Old Testament is basically the old ancient Near Middle East, which is, like I said, it would encompass all of Jordan, much of Iran, much of Iraq, the whole thing up to Syria and around. And so down probably through some parts of Saudi Arabia. I mean, I haven't really drawn it lately over all the current countries that exist right now.
Yeah, I actually didn't even realize that. Okay. I honestly was thinking it was just modern day Israel.
It goes all the way over to basically where Abraham was from, if you go over to the river, you know, Euphrates and the Tigris River, okay? So, and then secondly, it says that there will be a seed that will come from you, and that seed, right, will be a means through which ultimately evil is defeated. That seed will be the blessed hope or the desire of the nations. It will be a righteous ruler that will, you know, forever exist, and that there'll be not just a singular person that the nation of the world will be blessed, but that ultimately he would tell Abraham that I'm gonna increase your tribe until it fills the earth. Look up at the sky, right? As many stars are in the heavens, so will be your descendants be. And then he gets to verse 3 and he says this. He says that those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. Now, let me just say this. That is to believing Israel. Okay? And this is going to be, by the way, this is going to be a really interesting conversation, because anybody that believes that Israel should be in that land today because God has given them that land needs to understand what the conditions were, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is really important. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, repeated in Genesis 15, also in Genesis 17, is what's called the Abrahamic covenant. It's what's called an unconditional covenant, where there is not means through which you have to do something in order to get what I am offering you. A conditional covenant is where, hey, we're going to agree to do this as long as you do this. Mm-hmm. The Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant. But later, under this thing that God says he will do, he does introduce what's called the Palestinian land covenant, okay, the Davidic covenant. The Palestinian land covenant is the one he makes with Moses, okay? There are conditions upon that. Okay, and if you want to go back and read Deuteronomy 26, 27, 28, 29, that whole section in there, he just says, if you don't walk with me, then you will not be in this land. And so I just want to make this really, really clear. When we say, I would just say believers, followers of the seed, followers of the Messiah, followers of the one that is the desire of the nations, and the one that God intended the entire world to be blessed through. We don't believe Israel right now is believing Israel. Okay, I am fine. I agree with what happened in 1947 and 1948, where after the Holocaust and what happened during the Second World War, that through agreements with different world governments at the time, that there was a spot that was given to what at the time was an area of land in the Middle East that was not a nation state, okay? There were Jews that lived in Israel before 1948, okay? The Zionists, they call them, some mm-hmm. of them, went back in the late 1800s, right? They actually, Herzl and others reinvented the Hebrew language. It was a dead language. It wasn't even spoken. Wow. And they recreated the Hebrew language and started to teach Hebrew again so they could speak the language that the Torah was written in. There were Arabs that lived there. There were Jews that lived there. And they lived peaceably alongside one another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What happened later in 1948 is when you got to go all the way back. I don't know how far you guys want to go back, but you know, you're
teaching me at the same time. So I'm like, what are we talking about? How far back are we going?
So it's really complicated. But let me just say this: when people go to Genesis 12 to talk about why Israel right now. I'm bringing it even past 2002. Mm-hmm. Why Israel should respond against the war that's happening in Gaza.
Right.
Okay, Genesis 12 is the wrong way to go. Mm. All right. Let's just reverse it. And I want to make sure I say this at the very upset, and then I can go back and I don't even know that we were completely talking about this today. So I'm going to make sure that I get some of my facts right in my head as I talk right here. But I would never say the reason that Israel should decimate Hamas. And I am very clear in the Remnant News. Israel should decimate Hamas. Now is not the time to call for de-escalation. Mm-hmm. All right. I think in a previous podcast about how Hillary Clinton and I agree on this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So.
Or your podcast with Momo. You talked about this as well.
Yeah. We talked about this as Mo. And what I would say is that let's just reverse it for a second. Had Israel gone into Gaza and raped women and murdered innocent children, okay, I would be supportive of Palestine executing judgment on Israel. All right? I want you to say it this way. Had America gone into Tijuana and done this to Mexicans, the world should respond against America mm-hmm. the way the world should respond now against Hamas. Mm-hmm. This is evil. And the evil that is happening has nothing to do with Hamas, okay? Because not all Palestinians are supportive of Hamas. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so we got to separate the Palestinians from Hamas.
Right.
But why we're justifying war against right now the ruling leadership in Gaza is because of what they did, and it's horrible.
So let me stop right there just for a second, because in this letter, I'm reading it,
and
Osama is basically saying, this letter is to the American people saying, your press hasn't even asked the question, why did we do this? And here's why.
Yeah.
And his reason why is, the American government is an extension of the American people.
Yeah.
And so when the American government, his whole thesis is backs the Jews, and the Jews are the oppressors.
Yeah.
We have a right from the Quran to kill your people and attack your government and ruin your economy.
Because he's saying, I want to hear, make sure he's rightly represented, right. even in his air, because we are supporting Israel that he says is the oppressing group.
Allah the Almighty legislated the permission and the option to take revenge. Thus, if we are attacked, we have the right to attack back. Whoever has destroyed our villages, our towns, then we have the right to destroy their villages and towns. Whoever has stolen our wealth, then we have the right to destroy their economy. And whoever killed our civilians, we have the right to kill theirs. And the American government—
Let me just say this. There is such a thing as just war theory.
Right.
Okay? And what he's claiming is just war.
There's 15 points of things he's trying to convince us that's this.
And
is
what he's
about.
Basically saying is the occupational Israelis, right? Israelis, the Jews— right, who are occupying Palestinian land.
Right.
And what people don't understand is Palestine was never a nation, okay? They lived underneath basically Jordanian authority in the same way that right now Puerto Rico is not a state in America.
Right.
Right? It's, what do we call Puerto Rico?
Annexed.
There's a name
for Puerto Rico. This is really tough since we're all American citizens.
Yeah, yeah. But Puerto Rico is underneath American rule and sovereignty, but we let them govern themselves. We let them basically, exist without what's the right
territory?
Just a territory. There we go.
Yeah.
So there's Palestinian territory. They were not Jordanians, okay? And it wasn't just Arabs that were there. Mm-hmm. So if you go all the way back to just the march of the nations, you've got the Canaanites that were there. That God told Abraham, you can't destroy. I'm going now all the way back to early parts of Genesis, right after Genesis 12.
Yep.
He told Abraham his descendants, you're not going to occupy this land right now because the sin of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, I'm not going to bring judgment on these people because I'm still going to hopefully bring them to their senses. Mm-hmm. Okay. God uses a drought to push down the descendants of Israel to Egypt. They live there for 400 some odd years. They were being oppressed by the Egyptians, and all God did is sent Moses then to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, mm-hmm. right? Quit. Now is time that the sin of the Amorites and the Canaanites is now full. I'm going to go and have you execute judgment on them. And so just to accelerate that story, they go up, and this is why God says, hey, this is going to be a complete extermination of the evil. If you will, the judgment of the Canaanites in that day is a lot like the judgment that was supposed to happen in Genesis 6. God's saying, I'm eradicating these people because of the evil that's there, which ultimately is what God will do with evil. It is when you get little tastes of judgment, it's a picture of the ultimate judgment that is coming.
Yep.
All right? And so God in that little section of scripture. Now we're in Exodus. He said, go in and execute judgment, because the sin that I told you not to do in Genesis 15, the ultimate justice against the Amorites, I want you to do now here in the book of Exodus, mm-hmm. all right, in the book of Joshua specifically, okay? So they occupy the land, and as they go in, they don't do what God told them to do, and because they left, if you will, a little leaven there, all right, that continued to be a problem with them, and they became a lot like the nations that they were called to judge. And so God ultimately, just like he said he would in the Palestinian land covenant that he made with Moses and with the people that were going in to occupy the land, he said, I'm going to drive you out of this land if you're not righteous. Mm. Okay? So first he used Assyria to wipe out the northern kingdoms in 722 BC. Sennacherib comes down, or Sennacherib, depending on how you want to pronounce it, comes down and wipes out the 10 northern tribes. God, in his grace, delivers the southern kingdoms with the king of King Hezekiah, and he drives them back. And then ultimately Babylon wipes out Assyria. And then from 606 to 586, there's annihilation of the southern kingdom. Okay? And now you've got all of Israel, if you will, Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes of the south, which is mm-hmm. called Judah. They're taken into bondage, okay, over into to Babylon. Ultimately, Medo-Persia defeats Babylon. Cyrus is the instrument that's used to return some of the Jews back to their land. Okay, so now we're at 536 BC. Okay, so that return happens from 536 to 516, about 20-year period return. You've got Ezra goes back to rebuild the people. Nehemiah goes back to rebuild the walls. Zerubbabel goes back to rebuild the rubble. Haggai's a prophet that comes and writes and tells the people to get the temple in order. And then we have what's called the intertestamental period. So Persia is the world power, which defeated Babylon, which defeated Assyria, which defeated Israel, which defeated Egypt. And now we've got, in 333, this little guy comes on the scene named Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great wipes out Persia, okay? And Greeks basically are ruling in this little land that now is being debated. The Jews are serving underneath basically the Ptolemies and the Seleucids and others that were there, which are the descendants of Alexander the Great. This is all in your world civ class.
Failed
okay?
it.
Okay? And the intertestamental period, what's that? You failed it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay? So then in about 60 AD, 66, then Rome comes on the scene, wipes out the Greeks, okay? And then that little piece of land, including the Jewish people and some Arabs in that land, are underneath Roman rule, okay? Most famously, Herod, underneath mm-hmm. Caesar. And then Jesus comes on the scene, born about 4 BC. Jesus is around during that time. Jesus tells the Jews, this is why you're under Roman rule. Your problem isn't Caesar. Your problem is sin. And he calls them to repentance, because that's the way that they're going to not just get the land back, but they're going to get their life back. Okay? And the reason the Jewish people rejected the Messiah is because they believed the Messiah was going to be a political deliverer and not a spiritual deliverer. Mm. Okay? And so Jesus says, hey, your problem isn't Rome. Your problem is sin. It's not Caesar, it's sin. And so he deals with sin. But the Jews reject him. And as a result of that, in 70 AD, there is the great diaspora, or Titus comes down. There's another rebellion 40 years after Jesus lives against Titus, who is the ruler at the time. And then you just see Israel decimated. And then the Jews are spread out against all the nations of the earth, all right, through persecution. Now, in the midst of that, there were some Jews that embraced who Jesus was. That's the early church was all Jewish. But there were a lot of Jews that never believed that Jesus was their Messiah because he wasn't the political deliverer they desired.
Right.
All right? And so, but God still preserves the Jews because he said he was going to do something way back there in Genesis 12. Mm-hmm. And so those Jews assimilate. You have Jews in Ethiopia. You got Jews in Russia. You got Jews in Europe. Eventually, you have Jews that make their way over to New Cana, or to what we now call modern-day America. Jews are all over the world, okay? But there is no nation of Jews. Mm. There is no Israel. And the Jews are assimilating all over the world, and nobody's saying anything about Genesis chapter 12 at this point. There's still some Jews that live in the Middle East, mostly, though, Arabs, right? Mm. Because you have now the Ottoman Empire that rules, which is Turkish, that basically rules for hundreds of years in the Middle East. And later, after World War I, the English are basically the ones that have, the territory, that little territory, it's run by England, okay? And so England is basically the one that runs that territory there in the Middle East once the Ottoman Empire is pushed out. Mm. This whole time, there's no nation in what we now know as the modern nation of Israel. There's no nation there at all. So I just walked you back from about literally, 1500 BC all the way to 2022.
Yep.
Actually, we're not 2022 yet. We're in the early 1900s, 20th century. And we have World War I, and we have World War II. During World War I, there were some Jews, they called them Zionists, that went back. They reinvent the Hebrew language. Mm-hmm. By reinvent, they take ancient scrolls, and they figure out, you know, what those letters are. They make them. They rebuild. They start to teach themselves Hebrew again. They start to speak Hebrew. And then you get to where World War II happens, all right? And you have fascism rise up in Germany. There's a failed German state, the Weimar Empire, right? And they have to have a reason that they're critical of somebody. That's the reason that the German people have been disgraced. And there's this rising anti-Semitism. It's the Jews that control the world economy. Got to get rid of the Jews. And they characterize the Jews as a lesser people. And they start to oppress the Jews. And through Hitler, Jews are murdered, right? Roughly 6 million Jews, 6 to 8 million Jews are killed. And by the grace of God, they are preserved yet again. God doesn't let the final solution of Hitler, which is the eradication of the Jewish people, happen. And what happens after that is the Jews are like, hey, we have been harassed for thousands of years, really since 70 AD. And they would say even before that, we need a place to gather. And so there was a decision made by the League of Nations, the United Nations, okay, where we're going to let them gather in a place, in this province that is a nation, where there's already some Jews, there's already some Palestinians, and they carved out a very little space, not very big at all, there in that Middle East land area. And they put them there, okay, and they said, you guys can go there. And so a lot of Jews went there, all right? And when they got there, they said, you know what, we're going to be a nation. We're not just going to be a little, we're not going to gather here in this land. We're going to become a nation. And America said, you know what? Not because of Genesis 12, but they said, yeah, we'll let them be a nation state. Countries still form today.
Yeah.
Right? That still happens.
Right.
And so America was the first nation that did recognize, okay, that area that the world recognized, we're going to let Jews be there. We're going to recognize them as a nation state. Now, what happened then, okay, is it wasn't like at that moment they pushed non-Jews out and said, you can't live here. But when some of the Arabs that were living in that land, okay, said, we don't want a nation of Jews near us, okay, they went and attacked them, okay? And so what happened is the Jews then defended themselves in a way that nobody thought they could. They beat off this little group of Arabs that around them that moved against them, and they survived. And they won the Battle of Independence, and America recognized them. When the Jews settled there at the will of the world, it wasn't because of Genesis 12. Is we're just going to give them a place. This is a province where all kinds of people live. There's already some Jews there. We're going to let more Jews live there in land, and we're not going to drive people out of this land. We're going to let people occupy the swamps, the dunes. It's a place of jackals. This is not a nice city. This is unoccupied area, some of it. But once Israel defended its right to take this area and the Palestinians or the Arabs around there attacked them and they couldn't drive them out, and then America recognized them as a nation state, then for 20 years, right, there was a building up of animosity. And then in 1967, the Jordanians and the Lebanese and the Egyptians, there was a movement against them one more time to come. And in that war in 1967, what happened is as they attacked this little region of land, and we can put charts up there to show this, the Jews not only defended themselves this time, they pushed back and expanded the land, okay? And no one believed that Israel could do this, that they would win this battle, okay? And so once they pushed people back that attacked them, then the people go, hey, give us the land back. They go, we're not giving you the land back. Okay, you actually fought us. We didn't fight you.
Right.
Okay? And so now you have the 1967 land, and then in 1973, there's another, it's called, you know, there's the Yom Kippur Wars, which came. And again, Israel miraculously defended itself, expands a little further, okay? And then you've got what's called the West Bank, which is there along the Jordan River, the West Bank of the Jordan River, which is the east side of Israel. And you got the little Gaza Strip, which is down there, which now we all know about today, that they put Palestinians who said, we do not recognize Israel as a state. We don't want Jewish people to be here, and we want the eradication of Israel and the death of the Jews. And so they basically said, look, as long as you want to kill us, you're going to have to be there. Now, I want to remind people of this. There's roughly, I think, 8 million Jews in Israel, but there's 2 million Arabs. that live in Israel. There are Arabs that are part of Israel that are citizens of Israel. There are members, Arab people that are members of the Knesset. The Jewish people are not trying to say get rid of the Arabs. The Jewish people are just saying, let's live in peace.
Right.
But when you've got Arab people who say, we're not going to live in peace, because I think I did see something that Obama said, something.
Osama.
God, I'm so sorry. I'm not meaning to do that. I know. Okay, so it's Osama, kind of funny. Right? When he says up here specifically that we reject the right of Israel to exist, you know, and death to the Jews. I don't know if he says those exact words, but Hamas certainly does. And all I'm just saying is, like, we can't live peaceably with you. Okay, so if you go back and listen to my conversation with Momo, where we cover some of this stuff again.
Right.
All right. Momo is a lieutenant colonel in the IDF and a friend of mine who lives in Israel. You know, we talk about the fact that, like, we just want to live at peace with you. But if your entire purpose for existence is to eliminate your existence, what do you can't live with those people. Okay. So, I mean, and I think the right thing to say is imagine, you know, pick whatever border town you want. If they all of a sudden were going to come across and maraud and kill and shoot rockets, you know, every day into our land, we would go over there and say, that's not going to continue.
Right. If the cartels did that to El Paso.
And we're going to have to push, not only that, we're going to push you back.
Yeah.
We're going to create a buffer zone.
Right.
That's really what the green zone,
yeah.
Okay, or the West Bank is. It's a buffer zone. Okay. And so there are some people that live in those areas that have built enough trust. They come in and out into Israel, okay, and work, and then they return back to that area. It's a very restricted group because every time Israel offers to make peace, some people say, we'll never make peace with you. Some people say, hey, we'll make peace. We're all nice. But then some of them aren't nice. They blow up buses and terrorize individuals. And Israel's got to go, we don't know who's who. And yep. So you're going to all stay in there.
Yep.
Okay, so for Osama, doggone it, that is so terrible. For Osama to say that the Jews are occupying Palestinian land, it's not Palestinian land.
He's going off the pretext of, even in here, he talks about his perspective is through the Quran, which recognizes Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and who are the other prophets?
Well, no, actually, he appeals to the Quran as a means through which he's justifiably at war.
Well, but I'm even saying,
he references the Torah.
He does, I think, in context to the Jews. But in here, I was reading, you know, effectively that he writes the real Torah, which Muslims believe in all the prophets, including Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad.
Sure.
So just recognizing those guys, not
let's leave Muhammad and Jesus out of this for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I mean by that is we believe in just war theory. That like I said. Let's say there was no Bible in the world. We would have to say when evil rises up, if we're going to continue, let's just say we're just nihilists or fatalists.
Right.
All right. That if we're going to have a Darwinistic worldview, that in order to survive, we got to kill people that are killing innocent people.
Right.
Okay. And so let me say, I would agree. That's why I want to say if the nation of Israel on October 7th had done to the Palestinians what the Palestinian Hamas leaders did to Israel on October 7th. Anybody that goes to Genesis 12 and says, well, we got to support Israel because God blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who curse Israel.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. It's never a blessing to people, okay, to encourage them when they do wicked things.
Right.
Okay? And by the way, I want to remind people, Genesis 12 is written to believing Israel.
Right.
Since 1948, well, since 33 AD, the mass of Israel has not been believing Israel.
Right.
If you define believing Israel as rightly believing in their Messiah.
Yep.
So I believe, along with the rest of the world, again, this is never a good idea to say this, but taking Jesus out of it, okay, right, yeah. Okay, that Jewish people, it was okay to give them a piece of earth where they could gather and live. It's okay to give them a flag. And just to be clear, when they settled there, they did not displace Palestinians. They went to places like in Oklahoma, where there was a bit of a land rush, right? That was unsettled. Now, maybe Indians went through it at times, okay? And we said, now this is private property, and so the Indians have got to figure out how to, you know, navigate all of that. But the Palestinians, like, so first of all,
there's a can of worms.
And there you just is a can of worms, right? But let me just say this: Jewish people were in Israel, all right, 1500, you know, in what we call Palestine. In you know, 1500 BC, then they go to Egypt, then they return, okay? And to that land. And they drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. Okay? Not parasites, but Perizzites. And so, and others. Seven nations more powerful in number than them. We don't believe, okay, that this is a Genesis 12 issue.
Right.
All right? Because if you want to know the truth, this is very tender. Because I love my Israeli friends. I love my Arab friends. Israel's worst days are in front of them. And what I mean by that is they still are not believing Israel. And there's going to be a day when there is a consequence to that again. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much Big Brother America wants to protect them, God's going to say, hey, I'm going to get you to recognize the brother whom you've rejected.
Right.
Going all the way back to the Joseph illusion. Okay? And so I really want people to know this. We're defending Israel not because of Genesis 12. If you are, I think you're defending Israel incorrectly.
Can I ask, when you say Joseph illusion, are you meaning to say Joseph, or are you meaning to say the Isaac and
Esau? I'm actually meaning to say Joseph.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because, like, remember how Joseph's brothers rejected him?
Yeah.
Right?
He was the means of
favored by the father. Yeah. He goes down there,
yeah.
And then there's a drought, and God sends them down there, and they're going to die if this rich nation doesn't provide for them. And Joseph, they didn't even recognize that it was their brother.
Yeah.
Okay, and God said, what you intended for evil, I've used now for good. I've put somebody in advance in a place before you that can offer you mercy and grace when you really deserve judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's in effect what was replayed in the New Testament when the Messiah came to them to offer them blessing, but they didn't recognize him.
Yep.
Because he didn't look like they thought he would look. Okay, and they and the Romans crucified him.
Yep.
Okay, and they rejected him, but guess what God did? In the incredible mercy and foresight of God, he has sent them ahead to make a sacrifice and a provision for them. So in their hour of need, when they recognize him and look to him, and they will one day, in the same way that ancient Israel looked to Joseph,
right.
They're going to look to Yeshua.
Yep.
Okay? But before then, okay, right now, they look to technology, they look to America, they look to treaties. Israel is going to make a treaty with the Antichrist one day.
Mm.
Okay? Because what's going to happen eventually with Israel is somehow America's not on the scene. And we can get into that some other episode. We're talking about end times. But bottom line, what you need to realize is going to be a day when Israel, okay, this miracle of Israel's regathering in 1948, which I didn't even get into this, but I mean, if you're still hanging with me, let me just say at a very high level, one of the reasons amillennialism and postmillennialism and what's called preterist interpretations of eschatology and end time stuff is that how can God do what he said he's going to do with Israel in the Old Testament when there is no Israel? Well, lo and behold, in 1948, all of a sudden there's an Israel.
Mm.
But I want to be very clear, that's not believing Israel.
Right.
I mean, they believe in Jehovah, okay? But the Jesus, the Messiah, that's anticipated by the law and the prophets, says, if you don't love the Son, you don't love the Father. And I know I've got great friends in Israel who love the Father.
Yep.
And they don't recognize the Son.
Yeah.
They're going to recognize the Son one day. So the Genesis 12 promises is to the Israel that recognizes the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a blessing to Israel to say, because God's going to do something great with you one day, you can do whatever you want today. That's how you spoil a child. I don't support America when it does wicked things.
Right.
And we shouldn't support Israel when it does wicked things.
Yep.
I shouldn't support you, my son, when you do wicked things. And should
you
support me, your father. Thank you. Okay. And you shouldn't support your father when he does wicked things. We should love him and call them to repentance.
Right.
Okay. And so there's going to be a day in Israel's future.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not because is Israel occupying what formerly was land that Palestinians dwelt in? The answer is yes. So Osama... Thank you, I got it right. Osama is correct. But why? Because they attacked Israel, and then Israel expanded their territory and said, we're not going to give it back.
Right.
And so they attacked them again, they expanded it some more. Okay? And so now you do have, at different times, Israelis that are going into what's called occupied territory, because now there is a strip in the West Bank, and there is a strip used to be up in the Golan Heights in the northern side by Syria, and there is a strip along the Mediterranean Sea called Gaza that is occupied by Palestinians underneath Israeli control.
Yep.
And they say, we can make peace with you if you'll make peace. But right now, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, Taliban, they're saying there is no peace with Israel.
Right.
We exist to, we don't recognize Israel. We exist to extinguish Israel. Okay. And there will never be peace with Israel.
So,
and so that's why, okay, Israel's like, we can't just let you in.
Right.
We can't have a two nation state when your whole purpose of a nation to exist is to destroy our existence.
Right. So very clearly, this conflict is not around, this is not a Genesis 12, 15, 17 issue necessarily.
Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 15 is where there's some repeating of the Abrahamic covenant, and 17 is alluded to again. But yes, yeah. We are not defending Israel today because of Genesis 12.
We're defending Israel. And
if you're a biblicist, if you understand your Bible.
And you're basically, when you said that was a long tangent on the idea of, you've been very clear around your perspective is Israel needs to decimate Hamas right now.
Yes.
So what I was bringing it back to here is Osama.
Not because of Genesis 12.
Right. And what I was bringing, what I was asking a question around that is Osama, what's hard, even as a dad of four kids under four, is you see heartbreaking images coming out of Palestine, which is a product of tragic war, which there was no war on October 6th, right? And so what he's saying is, I attacked him.
There was. There just wasn't.
There
was no active.
Pervasive. So what Osama is saying is, hey, I have the right to attack your civilians.
Because you shouldn't be there to begin with.
Because you elected these people who are doing X, Y, Z, which in his perspective is wrong. So.
Yeah, that's the way he does. Yeah, okay. So
what I'm saying? I'm saying the hard part for people to wrap their minds around now is, we should call for peace. Look at these images. Look at it's a hospital. Even for me, today I read a news article of they had to evacuate, I want to say it was 1,000 premature babies, right? And so I'm thinking of my story.
Finley, yeah.
And I'm like, I couldn't even imagine.
But you know why they have to evacuate them? Because Israel doesn't want to kill them. And Israel's making a means through which they can be evacuated. Guess who's using those hospitals as a military base?
Hamas.
And wicked men.
Right. And so that's the tragic part of this, is because I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
Let's imagine us going to war with Mexico and then being like, we love.
Or if they're not using it as a military base, what they're saying is, we don't want to get rid of them.
Hit that area.
Yeah.
And so you got to move. But those premature babies, they're not going to make it in transfer, a lot of them. Knowing the intricacies of
and
of,
this is where the sins of leadership.
Totally. That's what I was driving innocent, to. Is,
right. So we famously in the Remnant News, right, on October either 9th or the 11th or the 13th, you know, I wrote about how war is hell.
Yeah.
Right. But remember, I quoted from an old sitcom called MASH, which I would
October
encourage
11th.
You to maybe watch, just because it's cleaner than any of the sitcoms that are on today, and it's filled with good truth. And October 11th, Hawkeye, who's a character in MASH, just said, "War is in hell, right? Hell is hell. War is worse.
War is war, and hell is hell. And of the two, war is a lot worse."
And the reason he says that is because, and there's Father Mulcahy, is that his name?
It looks like
I think that's right. If I could go back, it's been a long time. It's Mulcahy, good memory back from my 70s and 80s days. But basically, Father Mulcahy, well, I'll just read it because you got it up there, right? He says, well, how do you figure that, Hawkeye? Because there's nothing worse than hell. Let's just be honest, okay? But here's Hawkeye's logic. He says, well, tell me who goes to hell? And he says, well, sinners, I believe. And he said, exactly. There are no innocent bystanders in hell, but war is chock full of them. In other words, there are innocent Palestinians. In other words, Palestinians who don't want Hamas to make war on Israel, but they live there, and Hamas is going to kill them if they say, we should make war against Israel.
Right.
Okay? So little kids, cripples, old ladies, in fact, except for a few brass, almost everybody involved in war is an innocent bystander.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you just go look, and you can read more about that, and I have lots of scripture that go with it, when I just talk about war is hell.
Yep.
Right? And it's worse than hell, because hell has no innocence.
Right. So
war has, there are people suffering. Every war that's ever existed. Now, what's great, it's called the principle of proportionality or discrimination. It's part of just war theory. And you see Israel doing it. We just wrote about this on November 17th, 2022 in the Remnant News, where we talked about how before we bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima, we dropped leaflets and we said, get out of the city.
Right.
And some people believe that the Japanese Imperial Army went around and said, if you even so much as pick up one of those pamphlets, we'll kill you. Because they didn't want them reading that the Americans were coming, because they thought it was just propaganda. They didn't believe us when we told them, we have a weapon of mass destruction that we don't want to use, but it's going to save more lives if we use it. But get the innocents out of the city. Right. We're going to show you we can destroy you. Please flee. And so we dropped those leaflets.
Mm-hmm.
Israel, even before this started, had what's called knock-knock bombs, where when they would identify a school, a mosque or a hospital that was being used as territory for Hamas to operate, we would send a bomb into it. And I say we, but Israel would send a bomb, and basically it would hit it, and it wouldn't have any explosive.
And it's, say, it's you, you got 10
you
minutes.
Got, you got 10 minutes, and then one's coming with explosive. Like, get out. Like, who does that?
An ethical army.
Answer is people who don't want to destroy innocence.
Right.
Okay, and that's why Israel's been telling people, you better get south of the Wadi. Okay, Hamas has been killing people trying to flee because they are using innocent people as protection.
Yeah.
Take away the fact that they're Arab and Muslim. If that was Jews or professing Christians that were doing that, that is wicked.
Yep.
And we don't bless them because God wants to bless them. God will bless them when they do the right thing.
Yep.
Okay, and by the way, none of us do the right thing unless God blesses us.
Yep.
So
my point in all that was the logic that Osama is using,
yep.
Israel is actually doing the opposite of. But there are, because he's saying, I have the right to kill innocents because they're an extension of you.
Right.
Israel's saying it's tragic that innocents are going to die, but it's because of you.
Right. Is Israel's occupying Palestinian territory.
Right.
They are in the sense that there was Palestinians that were living in a certain area that made war against an unsettled part of this province that had been under Turkish rule for years and then was under English rule. And they said, this is going to be a little Jewish area there. And the Palestinians said, uh-uh. But yep. We didn't go in and drive away a bunch of people from a city. I mean, Tel Aviv did not exist.
Right.
Tel Aviv, right? It means new spring. That's what it means, the new hill.
Yep.
In Hebrew. And it's like there's going to be something new here. There's a new work of God that started in an area that was barren, that through Jewish industry and work, they farmed the land, and they've now built a world-class city that's there. But the reason that there's more than just that area around Tel Aviv that is Jewish territory is because
they were attacked
and they expanded the territory.
Yeah.
And they responded. And they responded. And they responded.
Yep.
And now they're holding ground. And let's be honest, why are they holding ground? Well, the answer's got to be, first of all, the grace of God. But I wouldn't go to Genesis 12 too quickly.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't end at Genesis 12.
Right.
It goes all the way through to Revelation 22.
Yep.
And if you look at Revelation, it's very clear that Israel has still not recognized its first love.
Mm.
And so it may not be Hamas, but it's going to be something that's going to get their attention, that we're not going to be able to save them until Jesus himself comes and saves them.
Yep.
Because the one that they rejected is the one that will rescue them one day.
Okay, so then the last thing, we can make this part pretty quick, but I think it's important, it's to the Americans, to the Gen Z, to the millennial. A lot of them, if you go watch it, which you haven't, I'm sure, but if you go watch, a lot of these kids are, they would probably fall into the category of LGBTQ.
Who?
Just the kids who are saying, I read this and it changed my whole perspective.
Yeah, whether they're LGBTQ or whether they're progressives or whether
whatever they are, yeah.
Whatever they are, it doesn't matter. They're just not informed.
Totally, because the second part of his letter is, what are we asking of you? And it's basically, it says, the first thing we were calling you to is Islam, which then point A is that you go under Sharia law.
Yeah. And so then, if you are LGBTQ, your point there is.
And then point 2A is, we call you to be people of manners, principles, honor, and purity, which I want to ask a question on this, to reject immoral acts of fornication, homosexuality, intoxicants, gambling, and trading with interest.
Praise God.
So that's what I wanted to ask you on is,
guess what? I would support Osama in calling people to
repentance.
But
genuine repentance, not Sharia law repentance.
Yeah, and what I would just say here is that, listen, your good works are not going to be what saves you, right? Now, in the Muslim ideology, okay, it's their purity and they're holding up the five pillars that allow them basically to be recognized by Allah as righteous.
Yep.
Okay? And so... what I would tell you is no. What's going to allow you to be reckoned as righteous is God's going to make him who knew no sin to become sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in him.
Yep.
And that's where Muhammad was right when he said Jesus is the greatest of the prophets.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, not only am I a prophet, I'm the prophet that Moses talked about in Deuteronomy 18. I am the way, I'm the truth and life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. and no one comes to the Father except by me. So you ought to repent, and you ought to not commit sins of fornication, materialism, or racism, or homosexuality, okay? All of that stuff. But it's not going to be our repenting of those sins and our not committing those sins that makes us righteous. It's seeing that God has made a righteous and eternal and a perfect provision for our sin, okay? Because an eternally perfect God needs an eternally perfect provision, and my repentance from wickedness is not an eternally perfect provision.
Yep.
The wages of my sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So praise be to God, right? That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So he's right to call for morality, but morality is not a means to salvation. Morality is a right response to the moral one who has provided salvation for you.
And to be uber clear, he's picking and choosing his morality, right? Because he's Sharia law has a lot of issues with it.
Oh, for sure.
And so that's what he's calling them to. But that part of it, and that's what's sometimes compelling to people.
Yeah, Sharia law is not the righteous law.
Right. But what's sometimes compelling to people when they read this kind of stuff is they go, well, yeah, that would be better for us if we just got rid of all immoral.
It would. But it was so interesting, though, about that is, right, some of these
well, and that's kids the irony described. Of the American kids pushing it is it'd be the first people that have. It's like I saw a meme. It was like those people saying, you know, this resonates with me is like chicken saying KFC is resonates with me.
Exactly. You put the Antifa mindset over there right now into the middle of Iran, there will be no Antifa.
Yeah.
Right? You will be quickly thrown off buildings and mercy killed.
Yep.
And it won't be a mercy to you. These people are not your savior.
Yep.
Okay? Jesus is. And so this gets back to what I'm saying is you can't be too careful as to what you listen to. Mm. And so the fact that certain kids listen to a quote unquote compelling argument from Osama bin Laden made in
2002.
That Osama made in 2002. You better fact check that man and fact check me.
And yeah, when it's the same thing with scripture and then with this. Like, make sure when you're reading, you understand what Sharia law is and what you're promoting, because it will not go well with you. Similarly, something you've always said and something you flipped over your pulpit for a long time.
So, look, I did all this from memory, and I'm talking about like way back memory.
Yeah.
I might even put a link. To some other folks who have kind of explained to you carefully some of those. I mean, I know my dates are right with 722 and 586
or biblical stuff.
516, 536, right? Yeah. And Jesus, 70 AD. But, you know, when you look at the Ottoman Empire, it went from when to when, the English and the white papers. Now, God used that. I didn't even mention
show the white some papers. Grace there if it's off here and there.
Yeah. And so, but the idea is you need to know there was no nation there. The Palestinian people were not under Jordanian rule. They were not a nation state. It was a territory. And there were parts of that wilderness that were not being occupied. And there were already Jews that were there. There were Jews there thousands of years before. And there were Jews there in the late 19th century, early 20th century. And so when more Jews came to settle there, the fact that other people said, we don't like them over the sand dune from us. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't get to choose because it's not your land.
Right.
And you're not using it anyway.
Yep.
And when they went and picked a fight with them, it cost them their land.
Yep.
So Osama is wrong. Sharia law is wrong. And Israel is wrong in rejecting Jesus.
Yep.
And we don't bless them by letting them do whatever they want. That's not why we are supportive of them today. They have a right to be a nation. Mm. They have a right to protect their land. And they have a right to decimate Hamas. And we are supporting them because we would support any country that does that. Now, meanwhile, does God have a unique and special plan that he will fulfill with the Jews one day? Yes. Okay? But part of that will be when they recognize the one whom they have rejected.
Yep.
So Jesus is the source of their peace, not America.
This whole conversation is a really good case study of being able to hold multiple thoughts at once.
Yeah.
Because you have to. And if you can't do that, it's not going to be a very easy thing for you to digest.
I hope that's helpful.
So it was. It was helpful to me. So
do we love the Jew?
Yes.
Yes. Do we love the Arab?
Yes.
And what does the Arab and the Jew, the Gentile, the Greek, the slave, the free man, the barbarian, the Scythian need, male and female?
Jesus.
Jesus. Praise God for him.
All right. That was good.
Okay. Well, I hope that's helpful. And look at the links that we have down there. We'll put little short summaries of more recent last 500 years of world history.
Yep.
But
there you go.
Careful where you get your news. Have a good day.